According to an article in Psychology Today, there are five basic fears that people have. Now, we could list 1,000 different fears and phobias, but according to that article, they all are rooted in five different things. First of all, the fear of extinction. That is the fear of no longer existing. And in some ways, we could say the fear of death. There is a fear of, it's called, they say, a fear of mutilation, but basically a fear of harm happening to your body. Could be sickness, could be an accident, those kinds of things. There's also a fear of autonomy, a fear of being able to be independent. Along with that would come a fear of being restricted or enclosed in a small area. There is a fear of separation, meaning being abandoned, being rejected, a lack of being connected to others. And then the fifth one they list is a fear of humiliation, meaning a fear of shame, a loss of integrity, a loss of self-worth. In the Bible, David faced all of these fears. He faced the fear of extinction, if you will, as he stood against the lion and the bear in protecting his sheep. He faced physical harm as he stood in opposition to the sword of Goliath, the giant Philistine. He faced the loss of autonomy as he was pursued by Saul and his army. He faced rejection and separation. Saul, who once loved and embraced him, turned against him. He felt that rejection. He faced humiliation as his sin with Bathsheba was ultimately exposed. In spite of all of those things that he experienced, he penned what is known and probably accepted as the most well-known passage of Scripture. And my friends, that is the 23rd Psalm. We've been in a sermon series, a mini-series entitled Selected Psalms. We looked at Psalm 1. And in Psalm 1, we found that contentment and blessing is found in choosing righteousness. It is found in delighting in God and His Word. Last week in Psalm 2, we continued that theme, and we found that contentment and blessing is found in submitting to God. Many times people have the wrong idea that submission brings bondage. But the truth is, in the kingdom of God, when we submit to Him, we receive blessing. We receive contentment. And if you recall, the psalmist in Psalm 2 instructed us to kiss the Son, meaning an act of submission and obedience to Jesus. Now, if you missed either of those messages, they are available on our website. Today, we're going to continue that theme. Contentment and blessing is found in trusting in the Lord who is our shepherd. You see, the person who is happy and blessed is the person who lives for God. So right now, I invite you to turn to Psalm 23. If you brought your Bible, turn there. If not, there's pew Bibles, and the pages are listed for you on the screen. Now, as you're turning, I need to tell you something. I might stumble through reading this because somewhere in my life, I memorized it in the King James. And my guess is some of you also did. To this very day, if I use this text when I'm doing a funeral, I always revert back to the King James, and I always find it very comforting to, as I'm reading, I look at the lips of those who are gathered, and I watch them mouthing those words, because I know that that is the version that they have hidden in their heart. But I am going to do my best to read it to you today from the NIV. And David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The person who is happy, the person who is content, the person who is blessed is the person who lives for God and understands that the Lord is their shepherd. Now, I want to talk to you very briefly about the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is actually the hymnal that the Israelites would have sung from in the Old Testament, just like the hymnal that you see in the pew in front of you. We do not know what the music sounded like. We could guess what some of those instruments may have been. There are many scholars who have examined that these portions of Scripture, and they have actually found beats and have tried to work out the number of beats and the number of syllables and words so that they could kind of decide what it sounded like. But to be honest with you, a lot of that is speculation. The book of Psalms is not best translated verse by verse. You know, if you're in the book of Philippians or your Gospel of John or wherever you might be, you'll look at the chapter and you'll be able to work your way through. The book of Psalms is written completely differently. In fact, it's written in what is considered to be chiasms or a chiastic form. I gave you a place on your sheet today in your bulletin for notes because I want to show you something. And that is this. If you were to examine the book of Psalms, or looking specifically at Psalm 23, Psalm 23 is written in a five-part symmetry. Notice the beginning of the psalm and the end of the psalm have the same theme. The second portion of the psalm and the second last portion of the psalm also speak to the same thing. And therefore, the central truth, the main thing that the psalmist wants us to grasp is right in the middle. And that's how that poem or poetry was written. And so that's why if I start at the beginning and I work to the end, I feel like I'm repeating myself, right? Because it's intended to do that. It's a poetic form. And I thought, well, you know, I mentioned this in a couple weeks, but I didn't really show it to you and explain it to you. And I wanted to explain it to you today in this familiar psalm. So now I'm going to take three truths and we're going to apply them following this kind of format, following a chiastic format, which is what it was truly written in. Are you ready? Here we go. Truth number one, the Lord is our provider. Introduced in verse 1, reiterated in verse 6. 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see, David is writing and comparing God as a shepherd. Why? Because David understood what shepherding was all about. David was a shepherd from a young boy. Before he was king, that's what he did. And he is saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want because as my shepherd, he is the one who will provide for me." David knew firsthand what it meant to care for sheep and how much work was involved. You see, sheep are utterly dependent on their shepherd for everything. Utterly dependent. They are helpless to care for themselves. The shepherd provides for all of their needs. From early dawn till late at night, even through the night, the shepherd is alert to the welfare of his flock. Throughout the day, he provides for their needs. Throughout the night, he literally sleeps with one eye open and with ears attentive. If we study other portions of Scripture that are mentioned about where the idea of a shepherd is mentioned, we know that a shepherd will even bring their sheep into a pen at night or maybe a rock enclosure, and they will sleep in the entrance so that no predator can get in and harm their sheep. Constantly, always watchful. Isn't that who God is? Doesn't the Scripture describe him as one who never slumbers or sleeps? One who is always alert? You know, frequently when individuals are having surgery, if I get the opportunity to go and meet with them and pray with them before that surgery, I take them to Psalm 21. Because Psalm 21 describes the Lord who never slumbers or sleeps. And I'll say to them, you know, a couple minutes, you're not going to have any awareness because you're going to be put under anesthesia. But God's eyes are wide open. And he is the one that we trust in. And so how important it is for us to realize that. Secondly, he says that he makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, sheep have a lot of fear. They will not eat. They will not rest unless they know that they're safe. They depend on the shepherd for that safety. They must be free from all tension in the flock. Wild animals, as cute as they look, sheep, or even other wild animals. When Danette and I go to Massanutten, Danette likes to feed the deer. They're covered in flies, right? You can see the sores on their bodies. It's gross, okay? But they have it. And sheep are the same way. There they are, and they're open to all of those things. And a good shepherd takes care of their sheep. They make sure that they're safe. In Palestine, green pastures don't just happen by chance. A shepherd needs to search for those areas, know where those areas are, and lead their sheep to those places. Sheep will not drink from a place where the water is turbulent or the water is running too quickly, but rather a good shepherd will take them to a slow-flowing stream or beside still waters. The shepherd is careful to provide for the needs of his sheep. And then at the end of this psalm, in verse 6, he reiterates that not only does the shepherd provide goodness and love all the days of our life, but he also provides a place where we will dwell in the house of the Lord beyond this life, where we can dwell with him forever. God provides everything we need. In Psalm 4, verse 19, or Philippians 4, 19, rather, the Apostle Paul said this, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." He may not give us everything we want, but we can be certain he will provide everything we need. As a shepherd, he provides for our needs. Number two, truth two says, the Lord is our protector. In verse 3, it says, he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In verse 5, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Again, the parallel verses about God being our protector. As a protector, the Lord guides his sheep in paths of righteousness. What does that mean? Well, I believe that God guides us basically in three ways. Number one, God will always guide us through his word. His word is always relevant to our lives. It is absolute truth. And when we seek guidance and we don't know what to do, God will guide us. And He speaks to all circumstances in His Word. His Word is as relevant today as the day that it was written. Secondly, God will guide us by His Spirit. When we trust Him as our Savior, His Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And His Holy Spirit guides us to truth. His Holy Spirit guides us and leads us. And His Holy Spirit will correct us when we get off our track, right? He will convict us of sin. He will show us what is right. He will show us what is wrong. And then thirdly, He guides us by godly counsel. You know, it's so important that if we're making decisions or we're going through a difficult time and we're looking for advice, where should we go? We should go to somebody who has been a mature Christian, who has experienced the peaks and the valleys in life, and allow them to tell us what to do and give us godly, biblical guidance. And those are the ways that He basically leads us and guides us to righteous behavior. And let me tell you one thing He will never do. He will never lead us in a way that is contrary to His Word. And we've all had this happen to us likely, where somebody comes to us and says, you know, I believe the Lord is leading me to do this particular thing. And we think, oh man, you know, God directly speaks not to do that. There's no way that that's the leading of God. And that's a way for us to discern His leading. He will always lead us and guide us in a way that is consistent with His Word, never contrary to His Word. So we need to understand that. David also adds the phrase, for His name's sake. What does that mean? Simply, I think it means in accordance with His character and His integrity. He will never lead us in a way that will tarnish His name. Rather, He will lead us in a way that brings glory to His name, not a way that will defame Him or tarnish His name. David also mentions, as our protector, he says, His rod and His staff, they comfort me. They are tools that were used by a shepherd. I'm told that rod would be more like a club, somewhat, you know, not very large. It could be used, of course, to hit a predator like a billy club, if you will. But I'm also told in reading that a skilled shepherd would be able to take that club and throw it and hit a predator from a distance and disable. We know, we've seen so many pictures of Jesus or shepherds with that crook, you know, that's the staff, the pole with a hook on the end. And basically, a shepherd would have that for a couple of reasons. They could put it out as a barrier to guide sheep to go around it, to go into a certain direction. But it was also something that could be used as a rescue. You know, if a lamb or a sheep got into a bad place, they could pull it with the neck or pull it with a body part and help to guide it to safety. I'm glad that God, who is our shepherd, reaches and pulls us to safety, pulls us from doing dumb things sometimes, right? And rescues us and brings us back to Himself. David says He is that kind of shepherd. He is able to protect us. He is able to guide us in a way that is right because He knows everything. He knows everything. David also says, He anoints my head with oil, my cup overflows. Now, as I read about this, I read that a shepherd would take olive oil that might be mixed with sulfur and other spices, and they would put it on the sheep at their ears and around their noses because that's where those parasites, those nasty flies and bugs would begin, and they would create disease. And it was kind of a balm of healing, but also a repellent. If you've been here at night, recently, you know that we had a spider issue. The other evening, I was down at the church, and Leona came to pick some things up from me. And she texted to say she was at the door, and I went and opened the door, and she was afraid to come in. And the reason she was afraid to come in is because on both sides of the entrance over here, there were elaborate spider webs filled with spiders that had bodies the size of golf balls, all right? It was very creepy, all right? Now, what most of you don't know is almost every Saturday I come down here and I take the broom and I take them all down, and then I get the hose and I hose everything down and have everything ready for Sunday morning. But I got smart that day and I went to the hardware store and I said, I need something that will get rid of spiders and keep them away. And they said, we have something. I don't know what it's called. Spider be gone. I have no idea what it's called. I can tell you this, whatever it is, it works. All right. I cleaned down the webs, and I sprayed up into the lights, around the lights, down the brick, on the corners of the sidewalk, and the very bottoms of the handrail where nobody's hands will touch. And we haven't seen a spider since, all right? See, a good shepherd knows how to get rid of the bugs, all right? And he said he anoints their head with oil. He was providing protection for them. God gives us everything we need. Everything. So much so that there is nothing more that we could ask of Him. As our shepherd, God provides. As our shepherd, God protects. We need not fear if we have our trust in the Lord. If He is, in fact, our shepherd, we have confidence. And that brings us to truth number three, which says this: the Lord is always present. The central truth of this psalm is found right in verse 4. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That is the key verse. That is the central thought. We do not have to fear. You know, and it doesn't matter what we're facing. We may be facing surgery. We may be facing loss. We may have issues with all kinds of things. God promises us that He will be with us. You know, have you ever found yourself in a situation where you said, you know what? I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I've been there. I sat in a waiting room one day and I said, how am I ever going to do this? And in those moments, those darkest valleys, God is so present. He is so ever present. The psalmist says in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. He is an ever present help in times of trouble. He is there. He is the one who is always with us. He will never leave us. He will never abandon us. You see, every one of us, no matter how faithful we may be, we will face difficulties. Some of us face many valleys. Some of us face deep valleys. But when the Lord is our shepherd, we need not fear, even in the darkest, deepest valley, because the Lord, who is our shepherd, is right there with us.
Oh Lord, you're my shepherd. You make me lie in fields of green. You lead me by the still waters. You restore righteousness to me. Though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil thing, for you are with me and you comfort me. And surely goodness, love, and mercy will follow wherever I go. Surely goodness, love, and mercy will follow wherever I go. And surely goodness, love, and mercy will follow wherever I go. Oh Lord, you're my shepherd. You make me lie in fields of green. You lead me by the still waters. You restore righteousness to me. Though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil thing, for you are with me and you comfort me. And surely goodness, love, and mercy will follow wherever I go. Surely goodness, love, and mercy will follow wherever I go. And surely wherever I go.
Contentment and blessing is found in trusting in the Lord, who is our shepherd. First question, can you confidently say, the Lord is my shepherd? You see, he isn't your shepherd unless you have trusted in his son, Jesus. Every one of us, no matter how good we may try to be, we can never, ever be good enough. We can never be good enough. We need a Savior, one who comes and rescues us. And that's exactly what God did for us. God looked at us as sheep who were lost and gone astray. He looked at us as those who were sheep without a shepherd. And as the good shepherd, Jesus became the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He had to do what no one else could. There was no one who was righteous enough that could pay the penalty for your sin and mine. We all sin. We fall short of God's standard of holiness. But God clothed himself in human flesh. He came to this earth, born as a baby, born from the Virgin Mary. And he grew to full manhood. And the Bible tells us that he was tempted in every way that you and I are tempted. But there's something very unique about Jesus, and that is he never gave in to those temptations. He never sinned. And because he never sinned, he was the sacrifice that was suitable, the one that could go to a cross and be crucified, the one who could die as a sacrifice for you and for me. And the Bible tells us that God accepted his death as a full payment for your sin and mine. The scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And here's the question. Do you believe? Now, word belief doesn't mean, man, I believe like Jesus is God's Son, like I believe George Washington was the first president of the United States. Doesn't mean that at all. What it means is, I trust in his sacrifice for my sin. I believe that when he went to that cross, he was there for me. He said, I will pay your sin so you don't have to. And by that very act of faith, he becomes our shepherd. He becomes our Savior, the one who takes away our sin. And when we trust in Jesus as our Savior, we can confidently say, the Lord, he is my shepherd. His Holy Spirit lives inside of me, and I know he is with me. Doesn't matter how deep, how dark, or how many valleys I will ever face, he will be right there with me all of the way. And here's the next question. If the Lord is your shepherd, are you fully trusting him in all circumstances? You know, when we trust Christ as our Savior, that doesn't mean we come into this life where we have no problems, okay? It means we will have problems, just like everybody else. We still have difficulties. You know, storms of life are going to come. Valleys are going to come. Can you trust him even in those dark valleys? You know, sometimes it's difficult. We have people we love, and they make choices that we don't agree with. There's nothing we could say. Everything we say is rejected. You know who can rescue? Do you know who can make that change? He can. And sometimes all we can do is commit those loved ones to him. You know, we all have individuals in our lives that we love, and we fear that we will spend eternity without them. We all have people who have not yet trusted Christ as our Savior, and we worry that their life will end and it'll be too late. We can rely on the shepherd to do what we can't do. And the shepherd can draw them. The shepherd can reveal them. Take it from one who knows. The shepherd can put out his staff and rescue and bring those sheep back. And we can trust him to do that. We can trust him to heal the brokenness in our lives. We can trust him to provide for our needs because he is always trustworthy, because he is always faithful. You see, when the Lord is our shepherd, we have all that we need. Father, we're grateful today for your word. for its comfort to our hearts and to our minds. Lord, I pray that each person that is here today would know with full confidence that you are their shepherd. And if you've never trusted in Christ as Savior, I want to give you that opportunity. In the quietness of your heart, would you admit that you have broken God's laws and commands? He already knows it, and we're all in that same boat. Would you also confess in the quietness of your heart that you believe when Jesus, God's Son, died on that cross, he was your substitute? He was there because he was paying the penalty for your sin. You might say, Lord, I know that I break your laws and commands, and I'm sorry for that. And I believe right here and right now that when Jesus died on that cross, he was there for me. I trust him right now as my Savior. And I need to tell you, friends, that if you utter those words in your heart, God forgives you. God promises you that you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Promises that forgiveness. And his Spirit comes and lives inside of you, and he will never leave you. He will never abandon you. You will never be alone, even in the darkest valley. For those of you that have already known him, trust him. Trust him with your circumstances. Trust him to lead you. Trust him to guide you. Trust him to change those hearts. Trust him to bring healing to brokenness. Trust him to rescue those who have wandered far from the fold. He is able. He is faithful. Commit those needs to him. Thank you that because, Father, you are our shepherd, we have all that we need. Amen. I'm going to ask if you would take your connection card. It is attached in the bulletin, as I mentioned before. Just a couple of quick things. If in today's service you made a commitment to trust Christ as your Savior, would you indicate so on there by checking that first box? Don't forget to bring one. There are invitational flyers in your bulletin. If you have comments, prayer requests, prayer updates, you can list those. If you would like a visit or a phone call from me, you can check that box. The ushers will collect your connection cards, and we're going to close our service by singing one final song, so would you please stand?
Covered by the power of your grace.
There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. On and on and on and on it grows, and it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I never, never have to be afraid. Just one thing remains. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. Our
Father, we thank you for the truth of your word and for the things that you have taught us over these recent weeks from the book of Psalms. Father, we are thankful that you show us how to receive blessing and contentment as we trust in you. We ask, Lord, that you would dismiss us from here with your blessing upon our lives. We pray, Father, that you would bring us back this evening, Lord, to celebrate you, to celebrate all that you have done. In Jesus' name. Amen.